Good evening. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening with God's people. Right from the very beginning, I have a question. Since I went 15 minutes over last evening, do I need to make up for that tonight and close 15 minutes early? We're going to try and be a little time conscious. I apologize. Going to different churches, I know many of you from before. And yet coming and worshiping with you, it is interesting to observe the functions of another church. And Living Water, I found out in at least one aspect, is not much different than Lamb of God. And that is some of you have certain stalls that you like to eat in. I think that's interesting. I don't have one. I have two. We alternate at home. But it is neat to see people just fit in a church and have their little quirks, and that is interesting. Tonight, I run the risk of this not being a revival meeting message, if there's such a thing. And as I was thinking about this, I was like, Lord, are you sure? And it kept coming to my mind, and I felt led to share it this evening. And I came to the conclusion that we need revival in more areas than just one, if revival is truly a restoration to life or to better our spiritual lives. I enjoyed interacting with the youth group a little bit last night around the campfire. I believe his name was Alvin. Is that right? Were we at Alvin's house? Yeah, that was enjoyable. And I wanted to bless your youth group publicly. I believe they're a good group of young people. I really believe that. I believe they have sincere hearts, and encourage them and make them prosper. They're a good group of young people. I enjoyed being there last evening, and I wanted to bless them. We didn't talk a lot about what was shared until right before we left, and then it was enjoyable just talking and picking their brains about kind of what they think and what makes them tick. So thank you, young people, for allowing me to tag along and being able to interact with you last evening. So last evening we talked not just to the young people. I gleaned from some things from God's word about two different kingdoms, and which kingdom are we engaging in, right? But I did kind of tailor it more towards the young people and my testimony as a young man. And tonight it's a little bit flip-flop. The young people maybe get to listen in. And while there's things certainly that they can learn, it might be more beneficial to those of us that are older and are not just older but are married. So I guess it's up to the brother back there, whatever he labels the message tonight. There's any title you could give it. I have several wrote down. Godly order, or godly marriages, or order in the church, or order in society. But we want to talk about an order that God has set up from the very beginning, that, brothers and sisters, I believe is starting to be ignored. And it's not just, once again, every message, because I felt God laying that on my heart. Every message I preach is going to be like, God's design, according to his word, is here. Where are we as believers, and where are we as a society? So there will be a constant comparing about travel, right? About traveling away from what God's design is. And tonight, I would like to look at godly order, or godly marriages, or, like I said, it's along those lines, right? But I just have a question, a couple of questions. Is order important? Is order important? It seems like many times we have grasped the concept that order is important in business, but we frown upon spiritual order. Why is that? Is that purposeful, or is that by accident? We frown upon there being spiritual order. I don't necessarily bristle at the boss that's paying me $1,000 a week when he tells me what to do. But if other people speak into my life spiritually, that is none of your business. Why is that? Why is that? I sense it at times. It's something that I have to guard against, and I sense it from other people at times. So I know it's an issue. I know it's an issue. We want to talk a lot tonight about submission. So I'll answer my own question. Yes, order is important. So we know that order is important. Maybe a more personal question is it hard for you to operate or function in the order that God has set up? Is it something that you find restricting, or are you prospering in that order? Because I have a decent amount of scripture to read tonight, I want to just get right into it. The text is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. It's a well-known passage. I'm not going to tell you anything new tonight, right? But I just mean to remind us of what God says about the order that he has set up. And then I have some other scriptures that I would like to read. I have the passage split up in three different sections. It addresses the wives first, and then the husbands, and then in the first part of chapter 6, it addresses the relationship between parents and children. And while this is primarily talking about the home, I would like to also include it in order outside of the home and in relation with the church, in relation to other things, to each other, right? The relationships that we have. So the first part I want to focus on is in verses 22 in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24. And you might be saying, brother, why are you starting with the wives? Are the men not the leaders, right? I'm simply starting with the wives is because that's who it addresses here first in Ephesians. And so I'm just taking it in the order in which it comes. I'm not picking on you ladies. But in 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then it's quite possibly among Christian brothers, this could be one of the most, their favorite verses in all of Scripture, right? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. It's an interesting passage of Scripture in the fact that it's not popular. It's not a popular viewpoint today, is it? It's not a popular viewpoint. And part of the reason that I have a passion for this subject is because in looking around today, I see young moms and young moms. So being a mom is a huge task. I have said several times about my wife, and she gets overwhelmed. But overall, she just does so well, right? But it's a huge task. It's being a mom is demanding. But what I've noticed is, I'm not sure, and I don't know how it was 80 years ago. I wasn't here. But young moms don't look like they're enjoying being a mom. They look overwhelmed, and they look discontent, and they look frazzled. And I have a theory on why that is. Motherhood or a housewife are negative terms. They're negative phrases in the world today that quite possibly our subconscious hearing has picked up on. You know, to be a housewife, I heard this. My wife was reading a book that I really appreciated. Some of the context in that. But a housewife is like almost calling someone a name. It's not a blessing. It's not wonderful. I've had people tell me, does your wife work? Yeah, she works. Well, I mean, does she work away from home? No, huh? She doesn't. She works at home. But yes, she works. Why is the words submit, housewife, keepers at home, why are those nasty words today? And at the end, I want to kind of sum it up that it's not things that are just happening. It's not just randomness, but it's actually Satan destroying the order that God has set up. He wants man and woman to trade roles, right? He wants us to trade roles. Why is that? Because the roles that God has set up, God knows works. Amen? God knows they work. Satan does too. And he doesn't want them to. Those are not nasty words, but those are biblical words. Those are God-ordained words. Those are beautiful words. And I want to bless the mothers here tonight, that if you fall under the category of a housewife or a keeper at home, that's a beautiful thing. As a young man, and I don't know what, well, I say I don't know what, like, I'm not giving any credit to the Holy Spirit, right? But as a young man, I was prompted that my wife is not going to work away from home. And there was and is something, and I think you men can attest to this, that there is something that when you come home, and I don't have far to go, it's just from my garage to my house, but even when I'm gone for the day, and I come home, and my wife is standing there to greet me, there is a blessedness about that that I cannot even describe. Now, when I come home and maybe my wife is shopping or she's not there, there's just something amiss. Like there's an unsettledness, right? Now, I want to say this. In what I share tonight, I am not pointing fingers at anyone. But I'm doing my best to speak what I feel like the Bible teaches, okay? And I also want to say there are outliers to every to almost everything. There are outliers. I've heard this. So, Brother Mark, what you're saying is if a woman's husband is killed and she needs to feed her family. Now listen, you know, I'm talking about the normal. I'm talking about society. I'm talking about what we experience day in and day out. But I want to look at what the Bible says here. It says, looking at the relationship between husbands and wives, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto, say it out loud, the Lord. As unto the Lord. I've heard this comment before, and sometimes husbands will say it a little smugly, like they've got it all figured out, and they say, well, I'll tell you how we run our house. My wife and I, we make decisions 50-50. We make our decisions 50-50. And I quickly want to look at them and say, well, then can you explain to me who is the leader? Because in a 50-50 partnership, there is no leader. There is no leader. Maybe in a 51-49, well, that's even dangerous, right? But in a 50-50 partnership, there is no leader. And throughout all of this scripture, I see, because husbands are their leaders and we're going to get to that in a little bit. Men, we have to be men that are worthy to be followed. We have to be men that are holy, that are righteous, that our wives know they can trust us. But it says, submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. That's a heavy statement, sisters. That's a heavy statement. As unto the Lord. And it goes on to explain why. The order is just laid out so beautifully. You know, and I've been preaching before, and it's oftentimes not hard to pick out. There's just sometimes, you know, we talk about that we need to submit, and it's like I just swore across the pulpit. You ever get that feeling? Like, man, maybe I just said something wrong. Not here, but there's been times that I've preached about this, and you know, to the extent that I believe some people look at me and think that they almost feel sorry for Kaylin, like I'm a dictator. Like there's that poor woman. But it says the reasons why in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. The word savior there, in relating to submitting, means that submission was actually meant to be a protection. It was meant to be a good thing, not a negative thing. It was meant that as husbands, how Christ keeps us safe spiritually, we're to love our wives and to keep them safe as Christ keeps me safe. And I'll tell you what, this is just a plug, right? I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but it's a voice of warning. Social media technology in general, that it has destroyed some things that I think we need to be careful about. You know, it used to be that as pastors, we could guard about the false teachings in a church by who we had speak across the pulpit. That is no longer the case. That is no longer the case, because we can still vet people, and we should, as ministers and as a leadership team, we can still vet people, but guess what? Y'all might leave from here tonight, and Ryan might get on his phone, and he might listen to another message that's exactly opposite of what you heard tonight. We can no longer protect our congregations like we used to be able to in that manner. It's no different for a husband's. Unless there's some serious ground rules laid for us, our wives, and our children, we cannot protect our families like we used to be able to. So when you come home from work and your wife tells you, hey, honey, I was online today and I listened to this pastor and that pastor and this blog and that blog, and it should cause us as husbands to get a little nervous. Whose table were you eating at today? Am I being clear? I'm not saying being a dictator and take our wives' phones. That's not what I'm saying. But somehow we have to protect our families. Somehow we have to protect. How are we supposed to protect them if they're going other places for teaching? How does that happen? There's a call to a godly order that God has set up, and it's for protection. It's not for this glory trip for husbands. It's not at all for that. And I want to say right at the beginning, because there's something that's been messed up in our society today, is that in some of these different responsibilities that men and women have today, or that biblically that men and women should have, it's somehow turned into this, you're saying that a woman is not worth as much as a man. And that is ignorant. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It actually says, whenever it's talking about salvation, it oftentimes uses the word man, which translates mankind or the human race. So that means that my wife's soul is worth every bit as much as mine. This is what gets messed up, is we have very different responsibilities. We're equal on soul value, we're worth the same amount, but where we get devalued is when we get outside of God's order. That's where the devaluing comes. Not when we stay in it, but when we get out of that. Submission was meant to be a protection. It's not a bad thing. It says here that you should submit to your husband as your husband submits, as your husband is supposed to submit to Christ. That's serious. That's serious. I caught a word here, I don't know, within the past couple of years in studying this, and it's in verse 24. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in most things. Is that what it says? It says in everything. And I think sometimes that can make us feel like if we're the ones being asked to submit in everything, I think there's a feeling of, oh no, I've lost all control here. I'm vulnerable. But I want to tell you, I am convinced in my heart and I am convinced in my soul that if we are truly men of God, and if we are truly where we should be with Christ, there's a trust that our wives have. They say, you know what? I might not agree. I might not agree. But I know he loves the Lord. I know he loves the Lord. I want to keep moving on this evening and move to the husband's responsibilities. I am going to be a bit, maybe, I try to keep it fair, right? But because husbands or men are asked to be leaders, I feel like there's a greater responsibility. I feel like there's a greater responsibility, and this is why. When men aren't where they should be, it's much easier for those under them to be out of order. So the higher up the chain, if you want to call it that, the more responsibility lies on us, right? It's serious. Let's read this. In verse 25, I'm going to read from 25 to the end of the chapter. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know what a weighty responsibility it is when we're to exemplify the love of Jesus to our wives. We are to exemplify the love that Jesus has to me, to my wife. And once again, I'm not taking the scripture out of context when I believe I could put in here in everything, in every area. And it's not the kind of love that I just do whatever she wants and she's the neck that turns the head. We've all heard that, right? It's not the kind of love that just rolls over, but it's the kind of love that even if we have to stand alone at times for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our family, we will do it. I must obey the Lord. Having said that, and we're going to get to that later, there is authorities here on earth that are set up to be over all of us. And we're going to look at that. Men should never be lone rangers or go rogue in their decision making. But I want to tell you a story. It ranks right up there with being one of the most difficult my wife and I have ever experienced. We were living south of Auburn, Indiana, and this was about 3 years ago, so it was right before we moved. But And one Sunday morning, you would think on a Sunday morning, a pastor should be in church, right? Well, this Sunday morning, we had sick children. And on top of sick children, I had a litter of puppies that was not doing well at all, right? So we stayed home with our sick children. I went over to do the chores. The dogs were not at my house. And I got to the dog barn, and my puppies were very ill. It turned out to be parvo, you know. Actually, this happened probably four and a half years ago. And those of you that raise dogs, you know that parvo is like, I guess the worst of the worst, right? So I called my vet, and he said, "Mark, meet me at the office." I said, "Okay." As I'm driving one of these sick puppies into the office, I went through the city of Auburn. And there was already an unrest in my heart about God had been doing a work in Kaylin and I that we were supposed to move closer to church and be a part of that community. And we had made a bargain with the Lord without even realizing that we had. But we had made a bargain with the Lord. We'd said, "Lord, we'll move, but we're going to move to the outskirts of Butler where we can continue to live the life that we live now," right? And, you know, I said the other night, God doesn't make bargains with mankind, does he? He doesn't make bargains with us. I'm driving through Auburn, and God, that Sunday morning, driving through Auburn, God began to do a work in my heart. Because as I'm driving down the streets, I want to quickly say, I'm not saying this is for every Christian, but it was for us. But as I'm driving down the street, I'm looking to the left, I'm looking to the right, and there's people walking up and down the sidewalks, right? And I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, if you want to make a difference in Butler, I want you to move to Butler. And it was troubling because we had this phobia of town. Not town. I've only ever lived in the country, not town. And I went home, and I'll never forget, my wife was sitting there with our children in the backyard, and I came home, and I don't even think we talked about the puppy, and I said, "Dear, God wants us to move to Butler." She's like, "Yeah." Like, I said, "No. God wants us to move to Butler." Like, I said, it was a clear, you know. And anyway, the unraveling that happened with my wife and I over the next few weeks was intense. I told you I'm just real, even in my mistakes, right? And I'm going to tell you one of my mistakes in a moment of frustration. There was some truth to what I was doing, but I went about it a bit wrong, right? So that was the area that my wife grew up in. So there was sentimental values, like the community, and it was hard, right? And that's probably a time in my life, and we talk about it now, so don't think that there's issues between us. But that was a time in my life where I felt probably the most alone as a man that I have ever felt before. Because, you know, there's something about standing alone with others, but when you go home and you're standing alone, that's lonely. That is lonely. And in a moment of frustration, one day I looked at my wife and I said, "Honey," I said, "there is a burning. It's not just what Mark wants to do. God wants us to go." And I said, "Let me tell you something. I will obey the voice of the Lord with or without you." I don't recommend that. She took it well, but I'm just saying it was frustration, right? It was frustration. Now, the point I want to bring out is God was simply speaking through the order that he had set up. You see, it would have been out of God's order for him to go, for God to send his Holy Spirit or prompt his Spirit to tell Kaylin, "Hey, you need to tell Mark that your family needs to move to Butler." Right? That's not the order that God has set up. I'm not saying that our wives shouldn't, and my wife does, speak in warnings, but brothers, let's be responsible enough that the direction comes from us. Am I making sense? Let's be responsible enough that the direction comes from us. Not domineering, not anything like that. But I think it's many times our wives feel like they need to lead out because we as men are doing nothing. Well, if family devotions are going to happen, maybe our wives feel like, well, if they're going to happen, I need to go get the Bible and bring it and read. Or if a prayer time is going to happen, I need to be the one to instigate it. And I'm just trying to tell us, men, wake up. Wake up. That's my responsibility to lead my family spiritually and to be rooted and grounded. I'm not caring for my wife. I'm not loving her as Christ loves me. If that happens. Once again, I'm going to say this over and over. I'm not at all saying. My wife talks to me about verses that she's. That's not what I'm saying. Things that she feels like God, you know, is directing her in. But I'm talking about direction for our families. I believe that modern day husbands, maybe not at Living Water, but I believe that modern day husbands have sacrificed their marriages and their families for things that do not even come close to in value. That's my cry that needs to stop. That's what I'm talking about. What are you involved in, right? In verses 26 and 27, it says that we are to love our wives as Jesus loves the church. And then it's talking about Jesus' relationship to the church. But by implication, it says, it indicates that we should wash our wives in the word. Wash our wives in the word. Once again, by implication, it indicates that one day we are going to present our wives before the Lord. In verse 27, it says, just like Jesus washes us with the word, it's saying, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's not a period there. There's a continued thought, right? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Remember, we're supposed to follow Jesus' example. We're supposed to be loving our wives this way. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Brothers, when's the last time you checked in on your wife spiritually? Are you doing okay? When's the last time you've washed your wife by the word? Does she have spot or wrinkle on her soul that you don't even know about? I believe it's serious. I believe it's serious. We're to love our wives more than we love our own bodies. You know, there's men out there, and some of us maybe should a little bit more, but they go to the gym, and they work out, and they run, and they run, and run, because they want their body, you know, they want. Well, nowadays it's all just about, well, I just want to be healthy. Like, okay, yeah, maybe, but you know, they want to look good too, right? I mean, let's just be honest. And there's not necessarily, we should take care of our bodies. I'm not saying that. But if we take care of our bodies in that manner, we're supposed to be loving our wives even more than that. We're supposed to be watching out for them. I think it's interesting in Deuteronomy, and I include this in the husbands because I believe the Bible teaches throughout Scripture that it's our responsibility first, right? In Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 to 9, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and that they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. That's how we're supposed to be caring for our families, brothers. Let me ask you a question, and it's not judgmental. But how do we do that? How do we do that when we only spend an hour or two a day with our children? How does that happen? Once again, I'm not saying y'all need to be self-employed. I'm not saying y'all need to work from home. I'm not. But what I'm saying is, let's be careful how much time we're spending away from our family for any reason. What things are we as husbands involved in? In Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, and this one really grips my heart. It says, "Wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you." The part in there that just gripped my heart is, what fires are we making our children pass through? By sin? By maybe sin that we think is hidden in our life? What kind of fires are we making our children pass through? How are we sacrificing them today? I already touched on this. I'm just going to say it in passing. Is it the places that we take our children? Is it the movies that we watch? We talked about music a large part last night. Is it the music we listen to? Is it the little bywords that come out of our mouth, or maybe straight up swear words when we hit our finger with a hammer? What fires are we making our children pass through? In 1 Timothy 2:8, it says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Brothers, can you lift up holy hands tonight? Or would you rather not, because you know that they're not holy? You know the involvements that you were in today. And you know deep down you can't lift up holy hands before the Lord tonight. I say all that to say, we as men must be men worth following. We must be men worth following. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, there was some consequences handed down, wasn't there? And the Bible says that Eve will be saved through childbearing. And then it was Adam's turn. And one of the things that was told to Adam, it says, "By the sweat of your brow," or "by the sweat of your face, you're going to eat your bread." And as I thought about that, I'm like, yeah, but they had responsibilities before in the garden. So it certainly couldn't be talking about work, right? The conclusion I came to upon studying the Bible is that it wasn't work before. Their responsibilities in the Garden of Eden didn't seem to be laborious. It was joy. It was perfect. The work came, or the toil in our work, or the hardness, the bad days, right? Those came due to the curse. Those are consequences. I want to touch just a little bit, and this is just food for thought. And I believe this could be some of what the devil is trying to deteriorate God's order. Why do so many of our ladies work outside of the house? Why do they go get jobs? There are situations. I'm not even meaning to be critical tonight, but it's just, I just want us to think about it, right? I was once told that on a normal household, if it takes two incomes in order to pay your bills, then there's something wrong with your bills. We oftentimes will say, well, when we had children, and I don't have time to read it all, but in Titus 2, it says that the aged women likewise are to, well, I am just going to read it. I can't say it any better, and it says it right here. In Titus 2, verses 3 to 5, it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The struggle in that passage is the part where it says, keepers at home. And it starts out that the aged women teach the younger women, right? It could mean this, but it doesn't say this. It could mean that the aged mothers teach the younger mothers. It could mean that. Or it could mean that the aged women or wives teach the younger wives. I'm not the judge tonight, but I do feel like it's a slippery slope. And I do feel like there's something missed when my wife goes to work and she's rubbing shoulders on a daily basis with another man. I'm just not sure that it was God's plan. I'm not sure that it was God's plan. It's a word of caution. It's a word of caution. What are we doing? What is it worth? Is it worth it? You know, a large part of all this has come from the feminist movement. Feminism, right? The empowering of our women. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, tonight. Our women were never more powerful than when they were directly smack dab in the middle of God's order. They were never more powerful. The whole twisting, the twisting of the order, right? I'll tell you what, we're so messed up today that if there would be a way that our wives could go to work and we as men could stay home and have babies, we would be doing it. Because the order is so messed up. You know, it makes me cringe when I hear that a wife is going off to work and, I'm a stay-at-home dad. I'm teaching the children school and I'm a stay-at-home dad. I don't know if that's the case with you all or not. I can speak openly. But think about the encouragement in the scriptures. Think about the consequences to the fall. And just tell me if that sounds messed up to you. Because it sounds messed up to me. That I'm staying at home. I'm being the keeper of the house. And my wife is going off to work. That can't be right. It just by the scriptures that we looked at tonight, it's not my opinion. There must be something amiss. Do you think it was by any design or any mistake, or do you think it was on purpose that when Satan came to in the garden, why did he go to Eve? The very first time that Satan approached mankind, that is recorded of, he was belligerent against the order that God has set up. He didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. I believe that was the very beginning of mocking the order that God has set up. I ain't going to go through the head of the house. Why would I do that? I'll find my way in another way. Very quickly, I would like to touch on the children. And I'm actually not going to read it, but you go ahead and read chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and it talks about how children are to obey their parents. And in our house, that was one of the verses that we've had our children memorize, right? And one day, there was a little bit of a rebellion going on, and one of our children went to the other one and just rattled it off like an auctioneer. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6, 1, so-and-so, that's for you. Yeah, you remember that in a day or two, buddy. But there's an order. So there's an order that as parents, we are to instruct our children. They're not to be instructing themselves. They're not to be instructing mom and dad. We are to be instructing them. And once again, a word of caution. I mean, who am I? My oldest is 7. It's not like I have all this figured out. But just in looking at God's word, do you know, maybe Marv and Todd and some of you older ones here, maybe you can correct me. And I'm actually going to give a time for a little bit of back and forth because I want to make sure what I'm saying is correct. But from what I can find, the only form of discipline that the Bible gives for children in his word is just a good old spanking. Just a good old spanking. It never once talks about timeouts. I'm not saying they can't be used with. But it's just a spanking. Satan is being purposeful. Why does he not want us to spank our children? Because it works. Because it works. If you have a pen and paper with you tonight, if you don't, just do this in your mind. I want you to take a piece of paper. I want you to draw a line right through the middle. And on one side, I want you to put God's order. And on the other side, I want you to put the world's order. And I want you, after we're done, I want you to conclude if Satan is being purposeful in trying to disrupt the order that God has set up. Okay? If I go over any more, we're not even going to have a message tomorrow. I need to hurry. In God's order, from the scriptures, God would the Bible would teach us that the Trinity is at the top. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? The next one I was corrected on because it says that it never or someone told me it never says this, but by implication, the Bible would indicate that the church is under that. The bride of Christ, right? So who is the bride of Christ? It's all of us. And we are to be subject one to another. So the Bible would indicate that the bride of Christ, the church, holds a lot of authority in our lives. And by the church, I'm not talking about the leadership team. That's certainly part of it. But the church, the brotherhood, accountability, right? That's the part that I was going to bring out, that we as men can teach our wives and our children how to be submissive. Because if we can't submit one to another, how dare we go home and tell others that they need to submit to me? How dare I do that? We do it by example. We submit one to another. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the church. Under that is the church, right? And then when it comes to the home, it's the husband or the father, right? That's the order that God has set up. And then it's the wife or the mother, right? And then it's the children. The husband and the wife, they discipline, they teach, they rule the children. And then as a human race, the church, the husband, the wife, the children, as a human race, we're to rule creation or animals. Creation. We're to rule over them. Under world's order, it's the pets that rule the house. I know that because I sell them. And I sold a puppy to some people in Chicago that this dog was going home and it had its own room in the house. And it had a little door that whenever it was tired of being around people and wanted its alone time, it could go to its room. People take better care of their pets than they do their children. Pets rule the home. Right behind that, it's the children. The Bible talks about babes ruling. The babes rule today. I see parents running all around after their children. Oh, Sammy, do you want to? Now, stop screaming. Okay, I'll get you some candy. The children rule next. And then due to the feminist movement, the wives are next. How many commercials? Have you ever heard a commercial that makes the woman sound like a dunce? I haven't. Every commercial that I've heard that involves a husband and a wife, the wife is coming to bail out her stupid husband. He's so ignorant. What a fool. The wives are next. The ladies are next. And then it's the dad. Then it's the husband. You know, this mumbling, bumbling fool after his family. You know, I was sitting under Paul Emerson's preaching one time, and he said this about a pastor, but I believe we could say this about a husband as well. He said he once heard of a pastor that said, there goes my church. I must follow them, for I am their leader. You get what I'm saying? How many times does that happen as men? Hey, hold on. There goes my family. I have to keep up after them. I have to follow them because I am the leader of that home. The men are next. The church is next. It's looked on with disdain. I go to church if I don't have anything else going on, if it's raining out. And if I do go to church, I want to go to a church where nobody tells me what to do. That's between me and God. And then very last, it's the one that matters the most. It's God. You've already figured out the conclusion I come to, but look at your sheet of paper. Is it not exactly a line for line backwards? Satan's not doing this by accident, brothers and sisters. He's being purposeful. I'd like to read one more thing. And it's a little humorous, but it brings out a point, husbands, and really wives, of what I was talking about just a little bit ago. There was a study done in Russia, a Russian newspaper done a study one time. They took 100 homes, and they wanted to see out of these 100 homes, who was the leader of their house. Okay? Out of those 100, 90 homes, the wife is the leader and the husband readily agrees that she is the leader. 90 homes. 9 homes, the husband says, I'm the leader, but the wife disagrees. There was one home that the wife declared her husband is the leader. The wife declared, no, he's my leader. Because of that, they won a prize. Or he did. He won a prize, right? It was so rare. And when they asked him to come choose his prize, he looked at his wife and said, which one shall I choose, dear? Where are the men? Where are we at? Some of the stuff I shared tonight, it's controversial in today's age. The invitation that I'm feeling led to give tonight is not like the ones we've had up until now. But I want to open it up just for a couple minutes. The Bible says that we're to confess our faults one to another. And if you find yourself, it also says that we're to ask, that we're to encourage one another. If you're a mom that you're in a place tonight that you don't enjoy being a mom, it's hard. You've allowed the world to tell you that your position is worthless. Will you be brave enough to ask the local congregation for prayer tonight? If you're a husband and you see that you've just been following after your family, you've been neglecting the treasures that God has given you to protect and to pray over. Maybe sports have crowded in your spare time. That's what you go to. Maybe it's hunting, maybe it's fishing, maybe it's work. But anything that has crowded in, that's taken your attention off of your family. Would you be brave enough to ask for prayer and accountability? Maybe it's too scary. I don't know. If it is, go to someone after the service and tell them you'd like prayer. Maybe overall, God's order is just grating on you. Whatever it might be, I'm going to open it up. No singing. I would also like to include, if I said something amiss tonight, because it is a topic that we want to get right, amen? It's a topic that we want to get right. If I said something amiss tonight that any of you brothers heard, I welcome correction. Now, I've done my best to bring you the Word of God tonight. And there's sometimes that I hear the comment, well, I know what you said that Scripture says, but I think, and I finally told one brother this, I said, you need to stop bringing a knife to a gunfight. If I'm giving you the Word of God, you need to fire back with the same ammo. Amen. You need to fire back. But if there's something that I misinterpreted the Scripture, will you be brave enough to, that we can have that discussion? We can clear that up. Todd might be saying, oh, Mark, do you know what you're getting into here? Well, I just want it to be an open time. I want it to be correct. Confessions or correction? Anyone? Just a couple minutes. A practical... Yeah. Yeah, so there's two that come to my mind. One is living out the Word of God in my life. Being a godly example. I'll open it up. Maybe there's others that have, you know, others. The other is, I'm gonna tell you this. We do our best to do this, but it doesn't always happen. But there's something special about just exactly what it says. Reading Scriptures to your wife or to your family and commenting on it and expounding the Word of God, I think would be a good way to put it. Just expounding the Word of God to your family. I don't know if that makes sense. Anyone else? Todd, maybe, or to answer the question? That's what would come to my mind. Anyone else? I want to drag this out, but there is, I want to make sure it's accurate. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word tonight. Thank you for how your Word is powerful and how it's quick and sharp. And it divides, Lord, between good and evil. Father, I just pray that you would be with us this evening. Father, I pray that the Word that was shared, Lord, your Word, not mine, but your Word, we would take to heart and we would examine it against our lives to see where we stand in the order that you have set up. Lord, thank you for that order. Help us to recognize it as safety and as building and not destroying. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Unless there's announcements, you are dismissed.